Whosoever believes in him, amen, believes in him, not church, not religions, not believes in him, should not perish but have everlasting life. And that life is given to us as the breath of life. He is called the life. He's the way, he's the truth, he's the life, amen. No one comes to the Father but by him. He's the door, no one can go through the door but to him. He's the way, amen, there is no other way but him. He is amazing, he's awesome, and he's alive, and he's here now to save you. If there's anyone in this room, anyone at all, and I'm talking to everyone here, I don't care who you are, if there's any the slightest chance at all that if you die, you go off into a devil's hell, if there's any chance at all that you do not love and have the Son of God, the only chance for your life, then it's only because you don't believe. It's only because you don't trust. It's only because you haven't put your faith in Jesus Christ, amen, in him only. Him only. He's the only one to beat hell. You know that. He was the only one to go to hell and come back. Amen. He was the only one to beat death. Death couldn't keep him. The grave couldn't hold him. Amen. I mean, think about that. Hell itself couldn't keep him. The Bible says when he left hell that all the graves of the Old Testament saints were open because of the power of life. He's amazing. And he lives and dwells inside of our hearts. He's alive. Amen. Thank him. Praise him. Worship him. Because he lives, I could face whatever happens tomorrow. Amen. Just think, if there is no more tomorrow, because he lives, I can face that. If the mountains were to just crumble, because he lives, I can face that. If the sky were to dissolve and there was no more air, because he lives, I can face that. I don't have to worry about a thing, or I can just trust him for everything, amen? Because he's the creator of all life. He's the creator of all things. He's the one who created this earth. He's the one who created you and loves you and then redeemed you, gave himself to buy you back from the old devil, from sin in the grave. Amen. Come think about that. What a great God we have. Please take your Bibles, open up to Matthew. Brian, I'm trying this on. It says off. Now it says on, but there's no light. There's no light, Brian. I'm trying. My headphone microphone is broke, so we got to order a new one. Until then, we're using an old. There's no light. What's that? Long as I'm on, that's all that matters. You can turn this one down, turn me up there on this one. But too loud. I'm loud enough. I don't even need a microphone, do I? Not in this place. Not in this place. This place has great acoustics. Kate, who loves you all, she always says, I'm praying for you guys. I miss you. She said, I love coming here and singing because the acoustics is so good. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 6, are you there? I'm going to talk to you today about something. Help you out the rest of your entire life. Something that we really need to get down. And I'm certainly not going to be able to touch even the hem of its garment, but something I just want to help you today. And it's about prayer. Every single one of us needs to pray. I'm not telling you, you need to. The reason you don't have the relationship with God you ought to have is because of prayer. The reason you don't have strength, the reason you don't have power, the reason you don't have the blessings of God is all an absolute result of prayer. Because prayer is the only way you're going to get into heaven, the only way you're going to call down God to do what it is that you need him or ask him to do. See, God is not your genie, just get that straight. God is not at your command where you say, okay, God, let's go, I need this. That is not who, I feel sorry for you if you think that's your God. Your God is the Almighty, the All-Creator. He's the heavenly host of all things. He's the creator. He's existed before creation. Little JT said he had a friend in school who's an atheist and her family's atheist. And they were saying, well, how did God get created? And I said, God's always been. He doesn't get created. He's been. Yeah, well, that doesn't make sense to me. You're right. It doesn't. How can we finite beings who have a time that we began and a time that, so to speak, will end. But the Bible says we a time without time, eternity. And God is the creator of eternity. And he's the creator of all life. And he's given us his name. His name is Jesus. Amen. It's hard to think that the creator of all life came down to this earth. He walked among us. He knows what it's like to be born. Think about that. He didn't show up. He literally became a man. I mean, he didn't just show up, poof, here he is. He became a man. How do you become a man? You got born. Born of a woman. He had to have his little nose wiped and his little bottom wiped, you know? Think about that. Talk about humility. He had to learn and let his mind be able to grasp things. He had to grow just like you had to grow. He felt what you felt. He knows what you know. He knows exactly what it's like to be human. Amen. And then when he became of the right age, he offered himself as a sacrifice for all humanity because he's amazing. He was beaten. He was whipped. He was torn apart. He was crucified on a cross. Amen. People mocked him. They laughed at him. They spit in his face. He was the Creator God. And he says that all that I am, everything that I have, and all that I have, will I give unto you. But you have to ask. You have to ask. And when you ask, you have to, it's called prayer. It's called prayer. Anybody in this room need anything today? Amen. You might say, I have everything I need. Well, then you're kind of selfish because I'm sure there's other people that have needs. Maybe you know someone. Anyone know anyone that has needs? Now we can get every hand up. Amen. Well, pray for them. Because whatever it is, God can do it. Think about that. Whatever it is, God can do it. Can I get an amen? If you believe, it's called believing. If you believe that God is, and you believe that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him, if you believe God can do anything, amen, today. If you believe God can do anything, amen, today. If you believe God can do anything, say amen today. There you go. God can. It just takes some faith to believe him and go after him and call him down. You say, it's not pulling him down. He wants to come. He sees everything. But God in his providence, God in his way, what he has is, think about this, and I'm being serious. Do you think God gets busy? Yes. God is very busy. Because he's holding all things together. All things consist. All the molecules, all the gravity, all of this. It says that his eye is on the sparrow, though. He sees everything. He sees everything, knows it all. But let me ask you a question. Does God have any requirements to listen to you? No, he doesn't. Does he have any where he has to be there for you? And the answer is, well, yes and no, because he gave you his word. If God gave you his word, please listen to me. If he gave you his word, what that is God coming down to man as Jesus Christ, and he gives you his word. This is my word. You got my word on it. Amen? You got my word on it. That's what God did. He gives you his word. Now it's up to us to take him at his word by faith and say, God, you said, this is what you said, Lord. This is what you said, and I believe you. And that's faith, amen? That's what faith. Faith isn't just believing in something. Faith is knowing something. Faith is knowing. And you know, it's like, I don't even like using the word believe sometimes because I know. I don't have to believe. I know God. I know him. He spoke to me. It didn't matter if the whole world found, you know, whatever evidence, see, God doesn't exist. That doesn't mean anything. He spoke to me. I heard his voice. I know him. He's changed me. He lives in me. He talks to me. He's alive. Amen? Is anyone like that out there today? So I don't have to believe that he is. I know that he is. He is. Whether I believe it or not, whether you believe it or not, he's God. Amen? And therefore, I know that he can do anything. So therefore, all I need to do is get a hold of him and get him involved in what I'm asking. Can I get an amen? I need to get him involved in what I am asking him to do because he's busy. He's doing everything all the time and everything. Why should he stop or pause and go, okay, Mike, what is it you want me to do? And he will do that. But he doesn't do it just because I ask. He doesn't do it just because I want. He doesn't do it just because I desire. He does it because I'm getting a hold of him. I'm getting through to him. He's hearing me. And guess what? I'm not shutting up. See, it's not like, because the Bible, Jesus told us, he said, it's just like this, fellas. He's trying to tell us. He said, a guy comes to his friend's house at midnight, and his friend has no food to give him. So he goes to his buddy's house. He says, hey, Harvey, my friend Tommy's here. I got nothing to feed him. And Harvey says, I'm asleep, man. My kids are in bed with me. Get out of here. He says, come on, Harv. I need something to give him. And Harvey says, no, I'm not coming. And he keeps knocking. And Jesus said, not because he's his friend, not because he has to do it. He said, because of he won't stop knocking. He gets up and he goes and he gives him whatever he wants. Why would Jesus tell us that? Because he said, ask, it shall be given. Seek. You shall find. Knock. It will be open. See, I believe that God doesn't get honor in heaven by just us praying. Because everybody prays. Even atheists pray when they foxholes, when the bullets start flying, as they say. God gets honor when somebody won't stop praying. Because they know that he's there. It's kind of like you go to someone's house, you're soul winning. You know, many of you people, I feel sorry for you, you don't even know what that means. You go out and you, how are you? My name is Pastor Mike Wilps. I'm the church down the street. I'd like to, you know, invite you out to church. Oh, no, thank you. I don't want none. Okay, well, then, can I give you this gospel tract? It contains salvation. Do you know that you're saved? I don't want to talk to you. And they slam the door. And you're like, okay, you go to the next one. And then somebody answers and listens, and you get to give them the gospel. But sometimes, and you hear noise inside the house. You see the little curtain open. You're like, I know they're there. You know, and then you're like, shh, he'll go away if you're quiet. And you hear, you know, little kids peeping out, you know. But you can either leave or I just keep, I keep knocking. Guess what? They show up. They might not be too happy. But I have led a few of them to the Lord because they didn't want to talk to anyone. They didn't want to be bothered. You ever been there? You ever been when there was places where you kind of like, I hope no one calls me today. I don't want my phone to ring. I just want to like watch TV or watch a movie under my covers. I just don't want to talk to anyone. You ever been there? Yeah. Right. Well, Jesus even got that way. The Bible says that a few times in the Bible, he wanted to be alone. He tried to hide from people. He went into a house and there was a woman there. Jesus! And he's like, tell her I'm not home. And she kept knocking and kept knocking. He's like, man, he finally, he starts leaving. He left the house, start walking down the street like, just if I walk fast enough, she won't listen to me. And she's like, Jesus, Jesus! And he's like, woman, what do you want? And he said, my daughter, she's got a devil. And he said, man, it's not right. It's not right for me to give dogs like you the food from the table of the children of God. She said, yes, Lord, but even dogs get crumbs from the table. And he went, oh. Whatever you want, you got it. See, there's so many illustrations about God not wanting to hear us. Or God's busy. And I'm not saying God is limited. I'm just saying he's very busy. He listens to billions of people. Why should he listen to you? That's my question today is, why would he hear just you? What would make God, stop the music? Lauren's saying something. You know what I mean? It's like, what makes her so special? And you say, well, it's just because I'm awesome. I got dimples. You know, it's no. That's not it. And my question is that sometimes in our mind, we think God is listening to our every word. He can if he wants to, but why would he want to? And that's what I want to talk to you this morning about is really praying, getting a hold of God. And I'll never, ever, ever even touch the hem of the garment, but I want you to pay attention. Look with me in chapter 6 and verse 1. It says, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. I want you to notice the theme, rewards, rewards, rewards. How many people believe God rewards you? Amen. You know what the best way God can reward you, Natasha, is? Answering your prayer. Amen. See, the truth of the matter is I'm praying all the time. And I'll be honest with you, the only thing I'm praying for myself for is to have the power of God on me so I can help you. That's all. I just ask for the Holy Spirit of God to speak to me so I can help you. Because what good is it if I get up here, mom, 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 and you leave, and you're like, that was boring. I got nothing. You know, because then everybody wasted everything, and I failed. I just want you to hear from God. And that's what it says here. It says, don't take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father, which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. And thy alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall what? Reward thee openly. How? By answering your prayers. It says in verse 4, that thy alms that may be in secret, thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And then it says in verse 5, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love the standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. That means answered prayers. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Our Mary, full of grace, just vain, empty words. It says, but when you pray, verse 7, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. But not ye, therefore, be ye not therefore like unto them. For your Father knoweth what things you have need of before ye even ask him. He knows what you need. What I want to say before we go on is that alms is not tithing. Alms means giving to the poor. That's what alms is. Helping people. Giving to the poor. Do you ever give somebody on the street some money? Beggar? Yeah. What he's saying is just give them something. Don't even like go, well, let me see. Just give them something. Don't even let your one hand know what the other hand's doing. Just give. Just give. Just give. Do you ever, if you ever help someone, you don't want everyone to know about it. You just help people. You just do, is what it's saying. I want you to see the preset going into the Lord's Prayer. For in verse 9 it says, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. This is the prayer that everyone prays. They call it the Lord's Prayer. It ain't the Lord's Prayer. It's the Apostles' Prayer. It's our prayer. The Lord never had to pray this prayer. His prayer is found in John 17, the whole chapter when he prayed for you. This is how we're supposed to pray. But before you even get into the Lord's Prayer, as they call it, before you get into this prayer, it's all about what he just got done saying. And what he just got done saying is give. Be a giver. You want to get God's attention? Give. You want God to give you? Give someone else. You see, what prayer is asking and receiving. I know people that have a lot. I don't mean millions. I mean they have everything they could ever want. So sometimes when you ask them, they're like, no, I don't need anything. Because they're humble, you know what I mean? Like, I don't need anything. But you got to know someone who does, right? Child, grandchild, parent, whatever. And so therefore pray for them because they have need. And that's what prayer is. Prayer is getting a hold of God who can do anything and get him to answer your prayer. That is the greatest thing in the world, is to be answered openly. I prayed for this Wednesday night. We come here every Wednesday night and we pray. We take prayer requests. First, we take praises. And people just want to praise God and lift them for, thank you, Lord, for what you've done. And that gives God honor, right? Because you might not have money to give God, but you can give God glory, can't you? You can give God honor. You can give God praise. And that is what he wants. You say, well, God doesn't, I don't have any money. What you have is more important than money. Praise. Worship. Thanksgiving. These things you still give. You can't expect to get unless you're not a giver. You got to be a giver. Can I get an amen? Does anyone agree with me? I'm just trying to tell you that whole beginning of this Lord's Prayer is give, 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 give. Then you're going to get God's attention. When you're a giver, God cannot not give you because you're never going to be better than him. You're never going to outdo him. You're never going to be a bigger giver, and nor will he let you be. Amen? You can't outgive God, can you, Bob? Can you, Bob? No. But what it is when someone, I don't care who it is, I don't care where you're from, if you're a giver and you give people and you give, it gets God's attention. So that when you ask, God is ready to just give you because you gave. And that's the most important thing you can learn about this today. And keep reading, verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I love that. I got to stop. That is the most important thing out of this whole prayer, I think. The first part is our Father. If God's not your Father, who is he? If you're not born into his family, if you're not truly related to him, who is he to you? What is he to you? That's the whole thing about Jesus came down, is that you must be born again. Amen. And then Jesus, God says, I am your Father. And I'm not saying it like Darth Vader. As soon as I say, I am your Father. No, no. No, God is your Father. Please let that sink in. Because if you can't get through that, you can't get through the rest. You have a Father in heaven who loves you, cares for you. I had a lot of children, and I was a dad since I was in high school. And I never had a real dad. I had a stepfather who was just mean. And it's okay, because it taught me a lot of lessons, but he's just mean. Never said a nice word, never did a nice thing, not for me anyway, and that's okay. Don't feel sorry for me. I'm just letting you know. He was strict, amen? He was strict. When you were at the table, Keith, and you ate with your mouth open, he'd have the blade of a butter knife. I mean, a heavy one, and he'd conk you on the head. You know, he'd go, ow! He's like, stop chewing with your mouth open. You're like, yes, sir. You know, if you put your elbows on the table, conk! And now I got a lot, I mean, strict, but it kept me on, I mean, amen, just sir. I liked it. I mean, I don't like it at the time, but I'm glad, because it taught me manners, amen? I think people need to be taught some manners. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Especially today, when you look at these wacko nut jobs out there, smashing things, burning things, they need to learn some manners. You don't do that to anyone's house for any reason. You don't burn and pillage and curse and scream. No manners. Somebody didn't give them a little spanking when they were young, I guess. I'm glad I got every spanking I ever had. How many people ever got a spanking? Raise your hand. Look, hold on. Let me see. You ever got a spanking? You're Puerto Rican. Of course you got a shoe, didn't you? You had to get a shoe or something. Whack. Boomerang. You never got a spanking? Really? Angelo, did you ever get a spanking? Yeah, amen to that. Al, how you doing back there, Al? Did you ever get a spanking? You little wimpy. You never got a spanking? After church, everyone, we're hitting them, all right? We're just beating them. Clobber him. Al is one of those guys that made it through. He's a decent young man. He's in college. He's doing great things, and he never got a spank. God bless you. Listen, not everyone needs one. Thank goodness. Amen. I personally needed him. I needed 2x4s. That's how hard-headed I was. I needed everything I could get, and I thank God for everybody's spanking I ever got, because I was a knuckle of knuckleheads. I was as dumb as a box of rocks. Amen. What are you waving your hand for? Put that hand back down. I know. Well, my point is that fathers, if he was a real father, he's got to do what it takes. He's got to do what is right. And spanking your child only when needed is a right thing to do. Why? It shows discipline. It shows correction. The Bible actually says, beat thy child with a rod. He shall not die. You shall save thy soul from hell. And the truth of the matter is, you know, a good spanking once in a while just shuts you up. And it makes you, yes, okay, I'll listen. I'm not telling you to spank. What I'm saying is God maybe has to spank you sometimes. Maybe he has to put you in the corner. Maybe you need a timeout. I know a lot of guys need a timeout. It's called prison. Amen? A lot of time, and they're out of here. Amen? You don't want that to happen. Let me keep reading. I'll just keep going. Look what it says in verse 10 again. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Don't ever forget that. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Look in verse 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I just want to talk to you this morning, brief time, about how you get your prayers heard. Amen. Turn with me quickly to Luke chapter 7, and then we're going to go to Acts 10. Luke 7, and then Acts 10. Luke chapter 7, are you there? Look with me if you would. Luke 7, verse 2, it says, and a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. You know anybody who's sick? You know anybody? We need someone to intervene. We need to get a hold of God for that person. Can I get an amen? Amen. We need to get a hold of God for that person. Can I get an amen? Amen. Well, then we need to. Look what it says. Here, this man had a friend who was sick, just a servant. He was sick and he was ready to die in verse 3. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. He doesn't know Jesus. He just heard about Jesus. He has a friend who needs Jesus. You got a friend who needs Jesus? And then what he did, he sent people that knew Jesus to go and talk to him. It's always good. I like it when people say, Pastor, pray for me. You ever get them? Will you pray for me, right? Well, I get that a lot. But what I like to say is, okay, let's pray together. Because I don't want you not praying and I'm the only one praying. All right? Let's pray. Matter of fact, I do know Jesus. Maybe you don't. Let me introduce him to you. He's really cool. He's awesome. He's kind. He's wonderful. He's powerful. He's glorious. He's amazing. And he'll listen to you if you pray right. And look what it says. It says here in verse 4, it says, "And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this." Look what it says. "For he loveth our nation, and he has built us a synagogue." I want you to see, this guy was giving. He was a centurion, Roman centurion, but he was a good guy. He gave, he helped people, and he loved the Jewish nation. I'm here to tell you right now, if you don't love the Jews, if you don't pray for the peace of Jerusalem, your prayers aren't going to get heard. I'm just going to tell you straight up. Pray for them. Jesus said, if you don't love your enemies, your prayers aren't going to be heard. So some people hate the Jews. I have no idea why. What'd they ever do to you? I have no idea. I don't know why people hate anybody, because I don't hate anybody. But even if most people that hate groups of people or whatever, what did they ever do to you directly? And the answer is nothing. I just like the hate. But the truth of the matter is, he said, first thing he says, he loves our nation. He loves Israel. You know what he said? He said, and he built us synagogues. He gave. He put his money in. I just want you to see that. Turn with me quickly to Acts chapter 10. We have another guy in Acts chapter 10. Good. Acts chapter 10. Verse 1 says, "There was a certain man in Caesarea called Orioners, another Roman soldier of the band called the Italian band." It's the Italian guy, Angelo. He's a good guy, man. Last name was probably Cornelius Perone. He was a good man. He was a good dude. Look what it says. He says, "A devout man, one that feared God with all his house," which, look what it says, "gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always." You see, I want to hear you tell you why I picked these two people, because these are two people that didn't even know God, and God answered their prayers. And the reason he answered their prayers is because, as they said, he's worthy. You know, I know some people that are decent people, good people, and they don't believe in Jesus, but they're good people. And so, you know what, I pray for them, that God would reveal himself to them so that they could come to know him. And look what it says. It says, "And he saw a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thy alms have come up for memorial before God." I just want you to know, what gave God attention is this guy was a giver. He gave. He was a good dude. He gave to the poor. He gave. He helped build churches. He did. You know what I'm saying? This is what the Bible's teaching us, how you can get God's attention. I said that to say, because giving is always before praying. How many people, honestly, be honest, and I want to see your hands, want your prayers heard? Amen? Amen. Put your hands down. Thank you so much for that. You got to be a giver, because you can't just be a taker. You can't be, God, give, 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 and you don't give anything out. You know, you get, but you don't give anything out. And it's a shame. It's just not a nice person. You should give more than you receive. You should give. Give is better to give than to receive, Jesus said. Giving is before praying. God rewards openly. God answers prayers, and his prayers that he answers are your rewards. Alms are not tithes. The Bible says that the tithe is the Lord's, but the alms is the giving that you just give out of your heart. Amen. You want God to hear your prayers? Then give. And it shall be given unto you. It says, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, with the same measure that you meet. That means the same way with all, it shall be measured to you again. Let me ask you, if you got from God according to what you gave, how much would you get? If you got from God according to what you gave, how much would you get? And I thank God for the givers in this church, because we wouldn't even be here right now if it wasn't for the givers. You know, the people that give, they're the best people on earth. Isaiah 66:18 says this. It says this, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear my prayer." You see, I just want you to realize today that I want your prayer. I want you to have a a prayer life. Can I get an amen? How many people can lie today and say, I pray for my pastor every day? Two people. Thanks a lot. Nobody's telling the truth. Man, pray for me. You see, I didn't want to say, how many people pray for their pastor? Everybody raise their hand. I said, how many people are actually lying? Pray for me. I need your prayers. Can I get, come on. What's wrong with you people? That's a foul. I got a yellow flag on that. That's it. Penalty. 15 yards. Go back to start. You better pray for me. I'm your pastor. The devil's after me all the time. He wants to take this church down. Amen. He doesn't want this church to stand. He doesn't want this church to be a lighthouse. He doesn't want the gospel being preached as loud, a big mouth up here. He wants some woman in a skirt up here saying, now everybody turn to page. Seriously. I'm a big mouth. And I'm going to fight for you. And I'm going to yell, get a hold of God for you. And I pray for you every single day. I need your prayers. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Why, I just don't want you to pray and it only hit the ceiling. Get a hold of God because I need your prayers.
Amen.
So I'm trying to help you today. But there's many people aren't having their prayers answered. And that's what I want to talk to you this morning. Isaiah 66:18. Don't turn there. But it says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear my prayers. It says in 1 Peter 3:17 that our prayers can be hindered. You want to know how? Husbands not being nice to your wives. Dun, dun, dun. Husbands not being nice. It says, dwell with your wives according to knowledge. Just realize, guys, listen, women, don't listen to this. Don't listen. Now, men, they're crazy, okay? Just get over it. They're women. They're different. They're not like us. We don't try to figure them out. Ladies, you can't hear this because I'm not talking to you. Close your ears, women. They're women. They're different. They're built different. They're made different. So stop trying to figure them out. Stop trying to make them like you, okay? They're special. They're amazing. They're awesome. Put them on a pedestal. Go ahead. Give them honor and glory and praise and honor. Do whatever it is that the Bible tells you to do. Amen. Love your wives, husbands. Because the Bible says, if you don't, the Bible says, 1 Peter 3:7, your prayers will be hindered. Just remember that, guys. If your prayers aren't getting heard, you're not being nice to your wives. So husbands, be nice to your wives. I want you to think about this. Is that it says in Proverbs 15:29, it says, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous. Proverbs 28:9 says, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. So you say, like, what? You mean God doesn't always hear my prayer? No, he doesn't. He's busy hearing people's prayers that mean something. He's busy hearing people's prayers that give. He's busy hearing the prayers of the righteous. I'm here to tell you right now, I want your prayers to be heard. And that's why I'm preaching this little message today. James 6:15 says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. He says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Please listen to what God just said. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth much. That means there's a lot of prayers that don't avail. That means there's a lot of prayers that aren't being answered. It means there's a lot of times your prayers don't even get through the ceiling. And that I don't want happening. Because I know you're all praying for me first. So I want to get those prayers through. All right, I need your prayers. Your children need your prayers. Our country, our church, our families. Can you get an amen?
Amen.
People healed. They need your prayers. Amen. So I want you to do this. Let me give you three things how to do that, and then we'll try to finish with that. But first of all, think about this. Prayer is powerful. It is powerful. And it's able to do anything. That's the whole thing. Prayer is able to do anything. You know why? Because God is able to do anything. Because God is powerful. Prayer needs to be real. Prayer needs to be powerful. Because you are not just talking. You're talking to God. Do you ever talk? You just don't listen. Come on. I'm a pastor. I can say it about all of you. I can say that about every single person I know. I have a wife. Trust me. She doesn't listen. My kids don't listen. The only one listen is dogs. I love them. Amen. God bless my doggies. I'm serious. Keith, see in your house. See? Your goldfish listen? Turtle. The turtle listens, right? Turtle doesn't even listen. Well, if we know what it's like to not be listened to. Wives, you ever feel like your husbands don't listen to you? It's not a fun thing. Husbands, listen, because it's not fun when you don't listen, when they don't listen to you. My point is this, is that God, why would he listen? Why would he hear your prayers when he's got billions of people talking to him? Billions with real problems. People that are kind and good and nice. People that are into church and working and helping and giving. Why would he stop and listen to you? I want to give you these three things, and then we'll hopefully go home. But real prayer comes from real problems. Please listen to me. Real prayer. You know when you really start praying? When you're in the building and the building's on fire. Oh, you start praying. Those prayers become a little bit fervent, don't they? You know, when you really, 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 really need something, then you really, 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 really pray for something. Because most of the time our prayers are, okay, Father, thank you very much, thank you, bye, and you're gone. Would God hear that? I'm being honest. You want to get a hold of God? You want to get a hold of God? You ought to take a tidbit from Moses. Take your shoes off. Get upon holy ground. Bow before the Lord. And pray. And worship. And honor him. Give him glory and praise and honor. Get a hold of him. Let him know that you mean business. Let him know that you're real. Let him know you're serious. Amen? Because my people are really serious about prayer. Yeah, I threw up a prayer. And that's why nothing gets done, Keith, because people aren't serious. The fervent prayer of a righteous man, it avails much. Doesn't even avail all. It avails much. I'm just here to tell you the truth. God says, don't stop knocking. You bang down the doors of heaven to get a hold of God. You know why? Because if you, just think about it. Think about it. If God's in heaven, our Father which art in heaven, right? If you make it into heaven, your prayers, that's a pretty long, powerful prayer. If your prayer doesn't just make it into the streets of heaven, but makes it into the throne of heaven and the doors are shut. It's like, who's knocking at my door? I'm God Almighty. It's that Teresa again. It's Beth again. She won't give up. Open those doors. Let me hear this prayer. If it made it all the way up to me. See, I'm being serious and joking at the same time. How far do your prayers actually go? How fervent are they? How serious are they? You got to get real in your prayers. And you got to understand that he's a real God. And he will really answer your prayers when you really get a hold of him. We got to stop playing games. We got to get a hold of God. We got to get a hold of him. Is he sleeping? No. Is he busy? Very busy. Will he answer? He absolutely will. If you need, give. If you need something, give. That's the first thing I could tell you. Be a giver. Be a caregiver. Be a giver of your time. Be a giver of your money. Be a giver of your love. You know how many people out there, Dave, need a friend? So a good friend's hard to come by. Yes. Someone will stick by you thick and thin. Someone that's not looking for a fault, just looking to be there. Someone that you can call in the middle of the night. Someone that you know that won't judge you. Someone that you know, I can't find any. Because I'm a pastor. Everybody's looking for a critical. Ah, you did this. You said this. You did this. I know. So pastors don't have any friends. They don't. Because if they allow the church to see their dirty laundry, then you're not a good pastor. I'm going somewhere else. I'm just telling you the truth. Not me. It's all pastors. All pastors. The best friend other pastor has is another pastor. Because they understand. That you can't let them know you're having a rough day. Can't let them know things aren't going right for you. You don't really have any real friends. Because if you say one thing wrong, they're gone. Out of the church. And it happens all the time. I'm leaving. I love you. I love you with all my heart. And you're leaving. Why? What'd I do? If it's doctrinal, good, leave. If just because you got your little feelings hurt, that's a friend. I remember my friends, man, they busted on me. Growing up, they used to cut me up and say things. Ever been like that, guys? Guys, I know women don't. Yeah, that's your real friend. You can bust on them. You can say things to them. You can kick them and smack them a little bit. Hit them in the back of the head with a razor. That's my friend, amen? But real friends, they don't run away when times get tough. Is God your friend? You run away from him when times get tough? You run away from him when he seems like he's not around? Well, he'll never run from you. Your best friend you'll ever have is God. I'm telling you that right now. You got to realize that. Give praise, give worship, give God thanksgiving. That's what the Bible said. For he's worthy, and he said this, ask, it shall be given you. Seek, you shall find. Mark 11, turn to Mark 11. I'm going to try to hurry, be done in 10 minutes. Mark 11. Are you there? Look in verse 23 with me. Mark 11, verse 23 says this. Well, verse 22, I love it. Jesus says, and Jesus answering said unto them, look what he said. If Jesus said this, I'm asking you to do it. Have faith in God. Can I hear the whole church say that today? Ready? Say, have faith
in God.
One more time.
Have faith in God.
Amen. That'll help you more than you'll ever know. See, you got to believe. The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible. Impossible to please him. For those that come to God must believe that he is. And that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That word diligent, you know what it means? One of the definitions I love, it says, rising early in the morning with painstakingness, seeking that which you desire. Man, we need people to pray like that. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not giving up. Lord, you got to hear me. Go out in the woods sometime. Go out in your backyard. Go down to the basement. Shut the door in your closet and cry out to him. Let him hear your voice. Don't give these rinky-dink little prayers and leave and think that heard anything. Be a prayer warrior. Pray. Pray like you believe he's in the other room. Pray like you know for a fact he loves you and he will answer your prayers, but you got to get a hold of him. Can I get an amen today?
Amen.
Mark 11, 23 says this. It says, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be see, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he has said shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he asks. Whatsoever he shall have. He shall have it. I didn't say that. God said that. Get some faith in what God said and hold him to it. Amen. Beat down the door. Look what it says. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, what's it say? You see, the first thing you got to do, have your prayer heard, is you got to give. You got to give, or don't even think God. If you don't give, why should God give you anything? Please, I'm just being honest. Don't even think your prayers will be heard. And the second thing you go, after you give, you got to forgive. You got to. It's a prerequisite. God says, if you will not forgive, I'm not even going to hear your prayer. If you're going to hold hardness in your heart, who do you got to forgive? Look what it says. It says in verse 26, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. You see, the first thing you got to do to get your prayers heard is be a giver. Give. Amen? Second thing you got to do is forgive. You got to, if you hold bitterness in your heart, envy towards someone, jealousy, if you're upset with someone, whatever it is, you better forgive. Because your prayers won't be heard. And we have millions of Christians all over the world, their prayers never get heard, Keith, because they won't forgive. And God said, look what I forgave you. Give and forgive. Amen? And the last, let me just say this before we finish. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 6, we read, it says, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's giving him praise. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Are you ready for God's will in your life? You say prayer, but do you mean it? I mean, do you really want God's will done in your life? Think about it. Or are you stubborn? You want God to do things for you, but you don't want God's will in your life. What is God's will in your life? You ready? First of all, it says your sanctification. He wants you to be holy. He wants you to be clean. He wants you not be a filthy vessel. He wants to be clean. Amen? Second thing is he wants you to be used by him. He wants your hands to be his hands, your mouth to be his mouth, your feet to be his feet. He wants to live in you, and he wants to live through you. Let your light so shine. Do good works. Amen? Let your good works, let your light so shine that others may see your good works and glorify God. Give God the glory in all you do. Everything you do, when you give someone and they say thank you, say no, thank Jesus. He told me to give you that money. Thank Jesus. He did this. Give him the glory. Be a giver and forgive everyone. You got to forgive everyone ever for all things all the time. Please listen to me because I'm almost finished. You got to forgive. If you won't forgive, God said, I'm not going to forgive you. If you won't forgive, you can't get. not only will you be blessed, but now God will be pleased. When you forgive, what you're doing is you're getting a hold of God. Sometimes people have done certain things that just you seem it can't be forgiven. How could I forgive someone that murdered my child? How could I forgive someone that raped my daughter? How could I forgive someone? You know what I mean? How? That's, you want to get a hold of God? Forgive. Because you'll do an act of godliness and you'll get a hold of God. And God will say, now I'll hear anything you ask. And believe. So the first thing is give. The second thing is forgive. And the last thing is ask. And you shall receive. Turn with me, please, to James chapter 4. And we'll finish with that. I'm going to ask this young lady in a minute if you'd come up and be our piano player. If you would do that for us in a minute. You can come up now or you can come up in a minute. Whatever you want. It's up to you. We've got about 5 minutes. And then we're going to finish. In James chapter 4, before we read, I want to get this through last thing. Give, okay? Give love. You got any love in you? Give it out. Give it out. Give friendship. Give time. Give some energy. Don't just be a keeper. Keep it to yourself. Give out. Give your money. Give praise. Amen, Bob? Maybe you have no money. Maybe you have no time. Maybe you have no energy. Maybe you're stuck in a nursing home. Maybe you're in a, you know what I mean? You're in a hospital bed. Give God all the glory. Give him all the praise. That'll get a hold of God and forgive every single one for everything they've ever done. And then you got to ask. James chapter 4, are you there? Look in verse 3 with me. It says, you ask and you receive not because you ask that you may consume it upon your own lusts. I want you to see that even if you ask, sometimes you don't get everything you ask for. You got to be a giver. You got to be a forgiver. And you got to ask for the right things. Turn with me to James chapter 1. If you'd come up, please. James chapter 1, verse 6 with me. It says, but let him ask in faith. Look what it says. Nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Please look in 7. Pay close attention to what God is saying. For let not that man think that he shall receive what? Anything of the Lord. See, the reason we don't get the things we ask for, Brother Keith, you guys are probably staring at that the whole time. The reason we don't get things we ask is because we don't ask in faith. So many times I've prayed and walked away from prayer knowing, at least believing I wasn't going to get it. Then I, guess what? I'm not going to get it. You got to ask in faith. You got to believe. How many people, honestly, I want to finish with this. How many people know, I mean know that God loves you? Come on, come here for me. He loves you so much. And I want you to, every time you say, yeah, I know it. You know what I mean? But just look at the cross. That's God's pure love for you. He let his son be spit on just for you. He let his son be tortured, ripped apart, the flesh ripped off his bones just for you. It says, by his stripes, you are healed. It said, he bore your pain. He bore your sorrow. He carried your griefs. Amen. And he opened down his mouth. He just did it for you. Just that is pure love. That's real love. Then he carried his own cross and they nailed him to it. Writhing in pain, Rich, that's the first thing he said, Father, forgive them. Forgive them. You think forgiveness isn't important? Let me ask you something. If you were the one that killed Jesus, if you were the one that nailed those spikes in his hands, if you were the one that pierced his heart with a sword, if you were the one that spit in his face and mocked him and laughed at him, if you were the one, should God forgive you? I wouldn't. You did that to my son? You're the first lightning bolt I'm throwing. I'm being serious. I'm just being honest. You can die of pestilence. You can have AIDS and rabies and diseases all on you and your family. I'm serious. I'm being honest. But what Jesus did is he knew his father is angry because they allowed this to happen. And the first thing he said is, Father, forgive them. Because they know not what they do. Jesus Christ loves you. And he wants you, the Father, to forgive you for everything. And he will. There's not a sin you could ever do that's too hard for God. Anything you've ever done, acted on, he'll forgive you right now, instantly, if you just ask. But you got to believe, don't you? You got to believe that when God gave you the word of God, that Jesus Christ is who he said he was. God, incarnate flesh, God's only begotten Son. And God allowed him to be beaten and suffered and tortured and crucified just for you, that he was paying your debt to God. Jesus stepped in on your behalf and he said, Father, hold not their sins against them. Put their sins on me. And God said, then you'll have to die. And Jesus said, so be it. If they can live, I will die. And God, they made a covenant between God and his Son, which was a man. They made a covenant of blood, and nothing can break that covenant. So whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God forgives you for everything, everything forever through Jesus Christ. All you have to do is believe. And that same faith that you can have eternal life and have forgiveness with God. See, God, he'll never ask you to do something that he wouldn't do. He gives. God's a giver. He likes to give. He likes to see you happy. He wants to give you his Son. He wants to give you eternal life. He wants to forgive you. Remember Mike Grohl, my good friend Mike? I miss him so much. I love him. His nephew, Eric, he used to come to church and cut around the grass. And Eric would, he just wouldn't get saved. And I went to dealing with him down the bottom of the church in the basement. And I said, Eric, why? And he said, because he wouldn't forgive me. And I looked at him and said, Eric, are you crazy? That's why he died. He did all that. He's waiting to forgive you. And he looked and the light bulb went off. And he said, you mean who? Forgive me right now? I said, yes. Eric ran. He ran up the steps, hit the altar for 30 minutes, cried out to Jesus and confessed his sins. And he got gloriously born again. Because some people just don't believe that God will forgive them. For some reason, I can't get it, but they believe God won't forgive me. That's what God does. He's in the giving business. He's in the forgiving business. But you got to believe it, or it means nothing to you. Amen? And when next time when you pray, you better start believing that he loves you. You better start believing that he wants to hear your prayers. He wants to answer your prayer, but you've got to have faith and believe. And ask. The Bible says nothing wavering. Don't waver. Whatever it is, I prayed and I said, God, your will be done. You doors, and I'll go through them. The door, and it was through my sister Helene, your beautiful, awesome mama, my sister, my friend. She called me up and said, Pastor, there's a church for sale right on Concord Road. And I said, and because it was Helene, I dropped what I was doing. I drove right over here. And we're here now because of your mom.
Amen.
I know for a fact where your mom is. She might be your mom, and she is, but she's my sister, and she's my friend. I love her. Your dad, mom, I love them. You know what I mean? You love them. God loves you 10 times more than you love them. More love than you'd ever imagine. When you ask, believe. Get a hold of God. Give, forgive, and then ask. As the music starts to play, every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. Bible says, if you have not, ask. Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, you shall find. Knock, it shall be opened unto you. How much faith do you actually have? Please stand to your feet. Stand, every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. This is a time if God has spoken to you in any way, the Holy Spirit has knocked on your door. Why don't you give him glory right now? Why don't you give him your prayers? Why don't you come to this old-fashioned altar and bow before the Lord? Give him honor. Humble yourself in the sight of God, and he shall lift you up. Why don't you cry out, say, Father, forgive me. I know not what I do. Father, forgive me of my sins. I believe in Jesus. I believe he died on that cross for my sin. I believe that, Lord. And I know that he died for me. And I know that hell couldn't keep him. And he rose again on the third day. And he ascended up to heaven. And he's there with you. But his spirit, the spirit of Jesus is here now. And he wants to save us. Why don't you open your heart right now to Jesus and say, Jesus, save me, a sinner. I give you my heart. I believe in you. And by your sacrifice on the cross, by your blood, I know that I'm forgiven. Oh God, live in me today. Maybe you've been far from God. Maybe you haven't walked with Him lately. He loves you. He loves you. He might be the only one who does. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Why don't you now start to walk with Him? Why don't you pray? God, why don't you get a hold of God right now by faith? The blood of Christ will make you righteous. Ask Jesus to forgive you of all your sin, to cleanse you, and then come to God. But please remember, if you've got any unforgiveness, God will not hear your prayer. If there's anyone out there that maybe you have resentment or unforgiveness toward your father or your mother, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Maybe you have unforgiveness towards a sister or a brother or a cousin. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Maybe you can't forgive yourself. Maybe you've been harder on yourself than anyone ever has. You need to forgive yourself, because God did. By the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, right now, say, Lord, I forgive myself, because you love me and you died for me. And I know I'm forgiven. I am forgiven. So therefore, I can forgive even myself. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for setting my heart free, for saving my soul, giving me eternity. God, be with us as we travel. Be with us as we go home. Help us to give the gospel. Help us to give love and friendship. Help us to give every opportunity we have. Lord, open the doors. We'll go through them and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You are dismissed. Thank you so much for coming. Tonight's service is at 6 p.m. We'll be done at 7, 1 hour service.